Gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. "Now which of them will love him more?" And Simon answered, "I suppose the one whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time that I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. About 5 years ago, Armando Galarraga was pitching for the Detroit Tigers against the Cleveland Indians. Galarraga was on his way to pitching a perfect game. Now, a perfect game in baseball is when no batter from the opposing team makes it to first base safely. 27 hitters up, 27 hitters down. It's a very rare moment in baseball. It's happened only 23 times in 135 years that a perfect game has been pitched. No hits, no walks, no errors. And Galarraga had faced 26 batters and retired them all. Only one batter was left. At first base was umpire Jim Joyce. Joyce was a highly respected umpire with years and years of experience. And Jason Donald was the 27th hitter of the night, and he hit a ground ball to the second base side of the field, which many assumed would be the final out of the game. The ball went deep into the hole, making it a less than routine play. But Miguel Cabrera got the ball, and he got it to the first base in time, at least a half a step before the runner. Everyone saw it. Everyone knew it. Everyone except Jim Joyce. He saw Jason Donald arrive just before the ball, and his arms went out, safe. Tigers were stunned. The fans were stunned. Their manager, Jim Leland, was stunned. Armando Galarraga was stunned. The perfect game was denied. They argued. They begged for the call to be overturned. They looked at the video for proof, and the proof was there. They appealed to the commissioner. "Can't something be done to grant this pitcher his due?" Nope. The rule is the rule. Jim Joyce knew he made the wrong call. He apologized, but once the umpire makes his call, the call stands. Right or wrong, that's the rule. It may be why we have instant replay now. You know, baseball, like any other sport, or any other game for that matter, maintains itself by virtue of its rules. The rules are there to make all things fair, to prevent any player or any team from gaining an unfair advantage. It's one thing to lose in a fair competition. It's another when the rule itself puts someone at a disadvantage. Armando Galarraga did everything that was required to be listed in the history books, but the rule said otherwise. Societies have to wrestle with rules also. It's what keeps everything in order in society. It was no different in Jesus' day. There were laws at the center of Jesus' teaching and ministry. And the question that Jesus had to wrestle with was what to do when the law, instead of drawing people to God, pushes them away. What do you do when the law places some in a place of advantage and privilege and places others at a disadvantage? What do you do when the law, which is intended to provide people a discipline and ritual of life where they might experience a deeper communion with God, is all of a sudden turned around and it's used as a gate and maybe even sometimes as a weapon against those whose lives it makes difficult to achieve such discipline and ritual? And Jesus was seeing that that was the norm in his day. And he's invited by a Pharisee to have dinner with him. And present at this dinner is a woman. And this woman is described as a sinner. And this woman approaches Jesus weeping and in his presence pours ointment while weeping on his feet and bathes them in this ointment. Now it's interesting to see what's not said in Scripture sometimes. It's interesting to see that this woman asks for nothing. In fact, the woman never even says a word. It is the Pharisee who speaks. And the Pharisee doesn't like it. It's too close for comfort for the umpires who thought that they were calling the play. She's a sinner. She's an unclean one. Jesus, she's not the kind of person we associate with. What about the rules, Jesus? And Jesus asks, what's the point of the rules? And he tells a story about two men who have debts, and one has 10 times the amount of debt as the other. And now the creditor decides to cancel the debt of both of these men. Who do you think, Mr. Pharisee, was more thankful? And the Pharisee says, it is the man who had more debt. And in hearing the Pharisee's answer, Jesus forgives this woman's many sins. No questions asked. Have you ever thought that there are times that the rules don't apply? That there are things that are more important than the rules? A number of years ago, a women's college softball championship game was played between Central Washington and Western Oregon. And Western Oregon had a star, and her name was Sarah Tucholsky. And she came to the plate, and she had never hit a home run before, but with two on, she hits one over the fence. And in her excitement, as she rounds first base, she forgets to touch the bag. And the rules say you have to touch all the bases. And as soon as she went past, she realized she had missed it, and she turned to go back to first. And as she turned, her leg didn't pivot, and her knee gave way, and she went to the ground with a torn ACL. And in great pain and unable to stand, she crawled back to first base. What do you do? The manager asked the umpire, what can we do? She hit a home run, but she can't round the bases. Well, the rules say that if any of her teammates help her, she'll be called out. If they replace her with a runner, she can only be granted first base because she herself didn't round the bases. Those are the rules. Which is when Mallory Holtman from Central Washington, the opposing team, Mallory Holtman, who held the record for the most home runs in the conference, steps forward to say that there's nothing in the rules that say that players from the opposing team can't help her. And the umpire agreed. So Mallory and another teammate picked up their opponent, and they walked her around the diamond, leaning her over to touch her foot on each of the bases, bringing her home for what would end up being the winning run. You see, there are things that are more important than the rules. It explains it, doesn't it, when the apostle writes to those Corinthians. Those Corinthians who seem pretty torn up about who's following the rules and who's not following the rules, who's keeping the law and who's not keeping the law. They seem to be missing the point. And Paul says, to the Jews I became a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law so that I might win those under the law. To those outside of the law, I became as one outside of the law so that I might win those outside of the law. To the weak, I became weak so that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people that I might by some means save some. That, Paul said, is the purpose of God, that all might be drawn into God's irresistible mercy. The law serves us no good if the law should prevent some from becoming part of the kingdom of God. It's why Jesus says, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But to the one whom little has been forgiven, loves little. Or to put it in the words of my seminary professor, Steve Brown, you can only show love. You can only show grace. You can only show mercy to the extent that you have received love, to the extent that you have received grace, to the extent that you have received mercy. Nobody's perfect. During World War II, two American GIs carried their dead friends to be buried in a cemetery. They found a cemetery and went to the rectory and asked permission of the Roman Catholic priest to bury him inside the walls of this Catholic cemetery. And the priest said, I'm sorry, but the rule is that you have to be Roman Catholic and a member of this parish. And the two soldiers begged him to change his mind. It's wartime. Can't you make an exception? I'm so sorry, said the priest. The rules are the rules. You're welcome to bury him outside the fence, just anywhere out there. And the two GIs agreed, and they dug the grave and buried their friend. And they planned to return the next day to put a marker on the grave. And when they returned and went to the part of the fence where they thought that they had dug the grave, they couldn't find it. They walked all up and down the fence, all around the cemetery, and they couldn't find it. And they finally went in to see the priest. Father, forgive us. We're the ones who came to you yesterday. Oh, yes, I remember, he said. Well, when we asked for permission to bury our friend, you said bury him outside, but we can't find the spot of the grave. And the priest said, yes, I know what happened. I was so upset about your visit yesterday that I spent half the night worrying about what I said to you. And I spent the other half moving the fence. To those under the law, I became as one under the law so that I might win those under the law. To those outside of the law, I became as one outside of the law that I might win those outside of the law. To the weak, I became weak that I might win the weak. And there is an end to that heartbreaking story of the umpire and the pitcher who lost the perfect game. Jim Joyce was on rotation the next day to umpire behind home plate. And baseball officials said it would be okay if he took a pass and sat out of the game for fear of how he might be treated by the fans. But Joyce said, no, I got to face the music. So as he stepped out of the tunnel, he heard something that he wasn't expecting to hear. He heard cheers. He heard applause. Word had gotten out about the umpire's remorse, and so there was applause. Now, for those of you who are baseball fans, you know that at the beginning of each game, there is always a meeting of the managers at home plate, and the home plate umpire calls these managers from their dugouts to exchange the lineups for the game. And instead of the manager coming out of the Detroit dugout, out came Armando Galarraga, the pitcher, from the previous evening. He came to shake Jim Joyce's hand. He came to forgive. How could you do that? Reporters asked after the game. How could you graciously extend yourself to someone who took your perfect game away? Galarraga looked at the reporter and said, perfect? Perfect game? Nobody's perfect. Amen.